You and your band have overcome massive odds. I mean, you were paralyzed. A couple of the other guys were in serious accidents over the past few years just to get to where you are today. I mean, did you ever think of giving up?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's a hard business to be in, and the older you get, and plus many of us have started families now. I have a wife and two kids, and you get to a point, some of these hard times where it's just like, I just don't know how many times I can get back up and do it, because it takes a lot of, a lot of energy and a lot of mental strength to push through and do a CD and actually promote it and stay out on the road for 150 to 200 gigs a year and be away from your family and friends. I mean, with that accident, I was just like, oh, this is it. I didn't know if I'd ever walk again. I didn't know if I was going to live through the night. So it was a pretty serious time. And since then, little things where it's just like, I just want insurance for my kids. And I'll get down, like, my kid's sick. It's just like, oh, geez, what am I going to do? I need to get a real job and get health insurance. But I love it so much that I can't imagine myself doing anything else. And I think everybody else in the band feels the same way, too. So I don't know. We just keeping on because it's what we love. And I don't want a 9-to-5 job. I know how to cope.
So what do you think that all says about you guys as a band?
I think it just says that, we're in it because, for the right reasons, but I believe, we're in it because we love what we do. We love creating music, and we love our fans, the people that have stuck by us since day one, and we don't want to let them down, and we don't want to let ourselves down. And I think it just shows, we're in for the right reasons. It's not about being famous. It's about doing what you do and loving what you do and not trying to be something you're not. So I don't know. It says we love rock and roll music, I think. Put up with all that crap and keep doing it.
What do you think separates Royal Bliss from other bands musically? How do you think you're different?
Well, in today's world of music, I think rock and roll in particular, there's a lot of artificiality, if that's a word, out there. Where everybody's using the same producers and everybody's using backing tracks. Not everybody, but a lot of people using backing tracks and things like that, where, even the live shows tend to sound a little bit computerized. And so I think rock and roll music in particular has lost a little bit of that organic feel where, it's based on. A lot of people write with a ton of people and just, not write from their hearts. And I think our music, it shows, the lyrics are stories about my life and stories about things that we've been through. And when we get up on that stage, we give it all every night, no matter what's going on. And there's no backing tracks when we're playing. So I think our music is, it's organic. You can feel it. And I think there's a lot of music out there missing that nowadays. So I think that's what makes us a bit different, is what I would say. It's real, and I can tell bands that are coming up that, and I apologize, I talk a lot.
No, it's okay, it's okay.
But when I talk to bands coming up, they're always like, what should we do? And, they always try to be something else, and, from what they wear to how they play to what they say on stage, and I'm just like, let your music, whatever comes out of you, let your music interpret who you are. And if you just play from the heart and you get up there, then that's an original band. Sure, they might sound like another band, but if they're playing from the heart, singing about stories of their life and putting it out every night, then their music's going to be original because it's all them. They're not trying to be anything else. So I think Royal Bliss is all Royal Bliss.
Okay, the first song I ever heard from you guys was, like I said, Bleed My Soul, and it automatically resonated with me. I'm like, this is a pretty damn good song. I mean, what was the creative process behind it? Where did the lyrics come from?
We actually wrote that song. Oh, man, we were in Shreveport, Louisiana, parked on the side of the road next to the club we were playing in our motorhome. And Taylor had a little riff. And when you're in Louisiana, if you've been to Louisiana, it's a party state for sure. And we were getting down and having a good time, And I guess, the bayou and the just being down there in the South, it's definitely one of those songs that's inspired by the South. And we all just started jamming on the motorhome and singing songs. The first time we wrote it, we had like 15 people in there clapping and jamming along at the same time. And it just was one of those cool vibes. And, people got to let loose every once in a while. And you know, we do it a lot when we're on the road, partying until 4 or 5 in the morning and just having a blast. But, you know, it's what keeps us going to a point, because you get all that crap built up inside of you, especially all the shit that we've been through. And you let it out, and we let it out for some rock and roll music.
Okay, who are your influences?
Oh, man. Me personally, I've always loved Pearl Jam. Crash Test Dummies and Sublime, believe it or not.
Nice.
And Crash Test Dummies and Sublime. And I don't know, Pink Floyd, all the classic rocks rock bands have been huge influences. And Pink Floyd's a big one, Led Zeppelin, The Doors, Johnny Cash. We all kind of have the same sort of background as music style, except for Dwayne, our bass player. He's from Atlanta. He likes some of that super heavy stuff. So.
Yeah.
Screaming and barking and whining. which is badass. You know, the whining I could do without, but the screaming and barking, I mean, that stuff's pretty cool. I wish I could do that. I don't know. We have a wide variety from, you know, John Denver. Our drummer loves John Denver and of course, in Hawaii. I don't know. It's a wide mix of really good music.
Okay, what are some of your musical guilty pleasures? You know, songs or artists that you're kind of scared to tell people that you're into.
Well, you know, nowadays, I think the older you get, it's kind of like, you know, it's whatever. I'm not trying to be cool or anything anymore. I grew up on Disney songs, and you know, my generation was Little Mermaid and Aladdin and Lion King, and I'll bust out some Little Mermaid on you. I mean, I'm not ashamed. Here I am, a big bearded rocker, but I'll bust out that Little Mermaid. Especially having kids now, if you have kids, they turn you into a kid again. So yeah, give me some Little Mermaid, I'll rock it. Word for word.
Nice. How do you think the new album "Waiting Out the Storm" is different from, you know, your other work?
You know, it came to fruition because people are kind of forcing us into that generic movement of, like, you know, hey, just go out with these guys, make this song that sounds like this, make this song that sounds like this, and then do a song that sounds like this. And we were almost going that route because we've been doing it for so long. It's just like, well, if that's really what's going to work, let's do it. And we had written like 80 songs that we all loved, and the label we were with and management we were with didn't think that we had anything there and didn't like it and wanted us to go this different route. And one day we just woke up, and Brian Virtue was a big part of that, our producer on the record. He was just like, if you want to do that generic route and write songs, you know, for specific kind of radio and stuff, then I don't want to be involved. And if you guys want to do a Royal Bliss record, then I'd love to be a part of it. And that was kind of like my last, like, God, he's got a real good point there. And so I think whenever we finally made the decision that, you know what, we're going to do this record for us, it's going to be all Royal Bliss, and we're going to pick the songs and go do it our way. And having a producer that believed the same way. So I think, I don't know, it's all Royal Bliss through and through, you know, from the heavy songs and the soft songs. I mean, it's all us. So the first time we really got to record the way we wanted to record without anybody down our backs and telling us what to do. So it was a freeing, very freeing experience to do this record.
You guys have proven over the years that you're fully capable of promoting yourselves. I mean, I was reading your bio, and it said that you sold 10,000 of your own CDs, you know, all by yourselves and things like that. You've got a super massive following on Facebook. Do you think that this was just something that you know, should have happened a while ago, that you guys should have just taken care of business by yourselves?
Yeah, I mean, we initially tried to do it that way. We had a record called After the Chaos 2 that we found private investors that believed in us and backed us, and we did the record and released it at radio, and it did good. And, you know, I kind of wish we would have stuck to that route, because we had a song that was doing flying up the charts at that time, and it's called Devil and Angels. And that's what initially got us signed. And it took 6 months to do the contract, because we didn't want to just sign some ordinary deal, and they had us yank down the song off of radio so they could re-record it and do it again. And I don't know, if we would have kept going on that song, and we would have been able to stay independent. And going to Capitol ended up being kind of a bad move. It was almost a game ender, but It also helped us out a lot too, get some more national notoriety, but it was a lot of hard work on our end to make that happen and have it come out. So there's, you know, it's one of those things that we tried to do it before, but, you know, the enticing dream of being on a major record label was a little too much, and we just went for it. And I don't know. I think it's our time now. We learned a lot. We've learned a lot of, I mean, all the mistakes that we've made over the past. It's just, we could write books and books about all the mistakes we made. So hopefully this time we've learned our lesson and might have a better game plan on how to release it and do it our own way and have the freedom all the way through, not just from writing the songs and recording the songs the way we wanted, but the way we want to promote it, when we want to release the record. I mean, freedom all the way around. When we want to tour, when we want to do our next record. I mean, it feels really liberating to be where we are right now and have it be 100% in our hands. And we can do whatever we want with it. And if it fails, then it's our own fault. I can't blame Capitol Records or anybody else.
Okay, what song are you most proud of on the new album? I know it's a difficult question because they're all, you know, kind of like your babies in a way, but if you had to pick one to...
You know, I love the song Crazy. It means the most to me, and it happens to be our next single. But it's a song that hits home for me because I wrote it basically about my son, my first son, and now I have two, and about my family just being away, but mainly just being away from my kids and watching them grow up on a phone. It was really tough. You know, my wife's been pregnant. The past two times I've been in the studio. And so made that song just hit home. Really, it's about, you know, for the troops and everybody else that have to be away from the kids for a long period of time. I think the lyrics will speak to those people. And, you know, people that just have to be away from the wife or their girlfriend or the freaking dog, if they love it. You know? They feel bad being away. I mean, you feel guilty. So that's the lyrically and heartfelt-wise, I think that's my favorite song on the record for sure. But there's a lot that I really love. It depends day to day.
Okay, where do you see this band by the end of the year?
You know, it depends on my mood, I guess. You know, today I'm feeling pretty good, and we got some good things going. You know, I have people like you that actually care about us and care about taking the time to write something or do something on a band that is where we're at, you know, independent and working on our own. It's good that there's people out there like you to do this. So, you know, it feels good that people are interested in our story and that a lot of that's been happening lately. And I feel really confident that if we do things our way and, you know, stay focused, that we could be doing very, very well by next fall and be in a position to do whatever we want. You know, hopefully have a good fan base and sell some records. I mean, being independent, we don't need to sell 500,000 records to break even. So we sell a decent amount of records, and we'll do another one and keep doing it. But I really feel good about this record. I hope I'm in Europe and Australia this winter, or the next winter, you know. But you got to be optimistic and believe in yourself. So I think we're going to be the first band to play on the moon, basically.
Nice.
It's a dream, right?
Absolutely, man. No, but it's good. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, you know, you're selling some CDs at the show, and you got somebody that's going to the show that it's the first time that they're seeing you, and they're digging you, and they see the CD, and they're kind of on the fence, like, do I get it, do I not? If you could, like, grab that person and say something to them to get them to buy your CD, what do you think you'd say?
Is it before or after we've played?
I would say it's before you guys have played.
Before we played?
Yeah.
Well, I definitely recommend they stay to see the show, because the show is what I think sells more CDs than anything. But I'd also be like, you know what, it's one of those good driving records. Like, if you do it, like, I consider it a good road tripping record, which are all my favorite records, were road tripping records that you could just put it on and play it all the way through and not have to skip a song. And be like, you know, every single song in this record we put a heart and soul in. It's not just some generic rock CD with one or two good songs on it that hopefully hit radio. It's good through and through. And it's got a song for every mood. So I'd be, maybe say that. I'd just be like, come on, give me $2 and you can have it.